Hi everyone. So I meet a lot of entrepreneurs in the market, both in the expat market and the local market in Asia, and indeed around the world. And the thing that strikes me is how few people actually succeed long term. In other words, the statistics you see online about, 90% of startups fail in the first five years isn't just a statistic. It also tends to be the reality. And this tends to harm people's financial health long term, because what often happens is, you know, they can't invest for their future and so on. So what's the kind of biggest mistakes that I see entrepreneurs make? Now, number one, and this is in no particular order, by the way, but number one is not understanding how key cash flow is. It sounds obvious, but many entrepreneurs, it's a bit like if you watch Dragon's Den, right? You see loads of people come in with these fancy pitches. They boast about all the languages they speak, blah, blah, blah. That's all great. But people forget a really basic thing. There's been loads of products and services which are absolutely excellent. Think about the 90s, IT, new products, whatever. But they've gone out of business, because ultimately, if you overspend or you don't get sales in revenue, you know, you're not going to have a business. Or even if you get in revenue, but the costs are at the wrong time when you get into negative cash flow, you can, you know, go out of business. In comparison, there's some companies with mediocre products, but they have good marketing, which brings in revenue, and they have good cost management, and they, you know, do pretty well, right? I mean, look at something like Apple, right? Apple, for IT geeks, probably don't have the best products in the world, but with a combination of good marketing and a good cost base relative to the revenue, obviously they make a hell of a lot of money. But that's the same with small business as well. Now, number two is a focus on illiquid assets. I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who don't really understand investing or finance. You know, at the end of the day, no more than the average person, right? Unless they're an entrepreneur in the industry. Somebody who's got their own business in hospitality or leisure or construction is not going to know any more about investing on average than someone who's got a job in that sector, right? So what they often do is they'll either put 100% of the money into their business, which is risky, or what they'll often do is they'll buy one or two houses on the side, or maybe one or two pieces of land, especially in Asia. A lot of people buy land like expats, but they forget that's an illiquid asset. So if something happens to your business, or you need, I don't know, 50 grand because, you know, you've had a bad year so far and you want to cash out, it's not easy to find a buyer in such a liquid asset. So that's another mistake. Now, number three would be focusing on just one market. And I was right now, scale is a huge thing, right? On the internet, you can focus on the world. But even many years ago, right, many successful people would focus on two or three markets, trip into other markets, depending on the industry they're in. Now, this isn't possible for everyone in all situations. But think about it. Even if you've got a bricks and mortar business, like you're a hotel, whatever, at the end of the day, if you're just focusing on one particular market, like, I don't know, Japanese tourist or French tourist, that's much less, much more risky than if you're focusing on everyone, or you have different niches. And likewise, just focusing on one emerging market country, that would be number four, is another huge risk and a mistake. I've lost count of the number of entrepreneurs who invested in countries like Thailand, Egypt, Tunisia, whatever. They thought, Egypt's a great example. A few years ago, some of my associates said, Egypt's got great demographics, it's got great growth, it's got this, it's got that, it's got that. It could be a hub for North Africa. But guess what? They didn't factor one thing into the equation. Emerging markets are naturally more risky when it comes to politics. And we saw what happened in 2011 in Egypt. It happened in Thailand in 2014 with the military coup. A lot of expats and locals lost their business during that time. So especially if you're going to focus on one market, focusing on an emerging market is very risky. Now, number five is egoism. Now, egoism is a human condition, but as an entrepreneur, you need to have more egoism than average, right? You need to believe you can succeed, because most people actually don't succeed. But the biggest mistake I find is assuming the past will replicate itself. I did a podcast about a month or two ago, which was very popular, where this academic worked out that if all the millionaires in 1900 had invested in the stock market, there'd now be 120,000 billionaires in the US, whereas there's only 500 or 600 billionaires. Because basically, because when all the millionaires, there was 4,000 millionaires in the US in 1900, but of course they all have kids and grandkids, right? So if they would have invested just in a very safe long-term market investments, with inheritance, there would now be much more billionaires than there are. And there's many reasons for that. World War One, World War Two. Some people, it's a good reason they gave money to charity rather than giving it to their kids. But a huge reason is this. Just like in 1900, there was loads of things that were coming down the pipeline, like World War One, World War Two, other things that affected people's business. In the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years, nobody can predict the future. There's always that chance the overperformance won't last. And not only is there a chance, you know, most business people, most successful business people, those people who are in the 5% who really do well, unlike the rest who go by the wayside, they've seen the ups and downs. So I would say assuming the past is going to replicate itself is a huge mistake. And often what you'll find is a lot of entrepreneurs will say to themselves, well, why would I want to get 8, 9, 10% investing in the markets? Because right now, I'm just giving an example here. I can invest $100 in Facebook ads and make $1,000 back. Yeah, but the point is that might not last forever. And anyway, you can't scale that. It doesn't mean that if you ramp up from $100 an ad to $10,000, it'll have the same effect. On smaller amounts of money, it's easier to get bigger returns. But the point I'm making is that, look, Warren Buffett is the third richest man in the world, and he's only, in inverted commas, got 20%. So what you have to remember is, if right now you're one of the few people who has a successful business, who's seeing their business doubling every year, and there are a lot of people like that in emerging markets, that doesn't mean that's likely to continue. Because if you even get 30 or 40% a year for about 40 or 50 years, you will literally potentially be the richest person in the world, depending on how much you started out on. I mean, even someone who starts out with 100,000 capital, a small amount of capital in the scheme of things, but gets like 30% a year on their business, they will eventually become richer than Bezos if they live long enough. So just remember that overperformance doesn't last. In the real world, you might have 10 years of 30%, then 5 years where it's going down, and then another 5 years, which is good. So it's always good to have liquid, solid market investments as an entrepreneur. Now, number seven is not scaling enough. We kind of talked about that briefly earlier, but I think a lot of businesses out there are very old-fashioned, right? If you've got someone who's been used to doing things for 20 or 30 years, it's hard to tell them to do something different. And it's amazing how many people are not focusing on the internet, even though we're in a completely new age now. And what you find is a lot of people forget just how much things are changing, because even until like 5 or 10 years ago, a lot of people would only buy a limited number of things online. But these days, people, consumer behavior is changing, and that's always changing. And that leads me on to the next one, which is reading, right? I mean, I found reading is a huge thing. Now, granted, the 80-20 rule applies here. If you read 10 books, 8 of them might not be useful for you at all. One will be quite useful. One might be fantastically useful. But remember, always, things are changing. So reading the classic business books is fine, but a lot of things are always changing. So always look for new books or new articles to read online, which could give you a slight advantage. Because remember, even a 2%, 3% advantage, that can actually lead to a huge amount of increase in revenue as well. Now, another thing is not doing a lot of it yourself. Now, what do I mean by that? Put yourself in the shoes of your customers. Let's say I'm go to a boutique hotel, which is focusing on creating great experiences for their customers. Who would I prefer to deal with? Would I prefer to deal with the owner, him or herself, or would I prefer to deal with the intern? Now, it's an obvious answer. But the point is, in many small businesses, a lot of people think, well, you should delegate everything, you should automate everything. And in certain situations, you should. But always remember that the consumer out there prefers to deal with senior people, whether they're young or older. They're actually an owner or a director, whatever, of a business. People want to deal with those. And finally, it's not, first of all, having a job in the industry. Now, what do I mean by that? One of the reasons why most startups fail, a huge reason, is a lack of experience in the industry. Now, if you think about it, if you're a recruiter, as an example, who's had 10 years of recruiting experience, consistently producing, I don't know, $400,000 or $500,000 of revenue a year, starting your own business in certain situations might be quite easy because you've got existing relationships. Now, it depends. It's not always easy for those companies to then deal with you again, but same in real estate, same in finance. You know, my industry is a great example of this. If you've got revenue, often you can just transfer that revenue to your new company. I think law also can be similar. But at the end of the day, if you've established yourself for 5, 6, 7 or more years in an industry, you might have revenue, you might have client relationships and so on that you can transfer. So actually, in reality, it's not a true startup. You might have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 of revenue, and you might be doing it all online, so that might be pure profit. You might have that revenue coming in on month one or month two, because especially if you prepared for it, especially if you've kind of hinted to those clients or relationships that, look, I'm going to start by myself. Would you be willing to follow me if I started myself? That's an easy way of getting the first $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 of revenue for your new company. But if you're starting from scratch, a lot of people, and this brings us right back to point one, a lot of people think, oh, well, I have a great idea to, completely change the recruitment industry or completely change the finance industry. But if you don't have experience in that area, that then gets you in this vicious circle of you think, oh, I need to partner up with somebody in the industry, or oh, I need funding from such and such person, or I need to do this, I need to do that. So it's much easier to be in the area which you know about.